Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 213-213. And our guest on the show today is Juliana from Atlanta, Georgia. And as you'll hear, because I know this already, we've just finished recording Juliana and her dream, and I'm here putting the beginning of the show on. And as you'll hear, Juliana has bought a dream that really terrified her. It's from 5 months ago. It was very frightening. She woke up crying and very, very distressed. And you'll hear as we talk about the dream, because remember, when we do the dream show, the formula is that I don't know what dream the guest is going to bring. So you hear the dream at the same time as I hear it, and you hear that whole process of exploring and uncovering and interpreting and working with the dream. So you'll hear us as we get really into the dream and work out what it is that Juliana is so terrified with, and soften that and move into it and move through it. And it actually becomes a very enlightening, very healing dream. You'll hear Juliana say towards the end how much lighter she feels, how completely different she feels having explored the dream, and the lightness that it brings, and the understanding, and the beginning of the healing. So it's a very, very powerful exercise. So make sure you're probably want to be in a place where you can really focus on this one, perhaps not multitasking at the same time, because this is one that will really might have you really sitting down and thinking and feeling quite deeply. It's a wonderful dream that will teach you a lot about approaching your own dreams as well. So just before we go there, a reminder of the websites. If you haven't been to either of my websites for some time, go and have a look. They're always changing a little bit all the time. The main website is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And the other one, the online learning platform, the Dream Academy, where you can go and study dream interpretation, dream analysis, dream therapy, is its website address is dream-academy-online.com. And of course, you can get there from janeteresa.com. Also, on a side note, since Christmas, a lot of people have been saying that they wanted an email interpretation service back again. I used to do it a long time ago. Since Christmas, I've brought it back, but in a completely different form. It's called a bare bones. And yes, I did call an old email service a bare bones, but this is in a completely different way. I put it out there about a week ago. A lot of people have taken it up and are really enjoying it. So if you want to know a little bit about that, go to janeteresa.com, go to consultations, and that will lead you to the bare bones interpretation service. The bare bones interpretation service doesn't go anywhere near as deep as what you're about to hear. and of course, I also have phone consultation services as well. You can find me on Facebook and also on Instagram. But far more importantly, let's get down to Juliana's dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Juliana.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And you're in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right, yeah.
And I think it's pretty late in the evening for you. You've stayed up specially for this.
I did, yes. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. We love having great guests on the show. And of course, as usual, I have no idea what dream you're bringing to me. So let's hear it.
Sure, thank you. So in my dream, I am in my parents' old home. It is very late in the night, and I am standing in the kitchen, and I'm facing the front door. From the hallway, my grandmother emerges, and my grandmother is in her 90s. She's very old, and she's very tired, and when she walks out from the hallway, you can definitely see it in her face that she's just not feeling well. She's very tired and exhausted. And I know that she is staying with me for that night. She doesn't live with me. She's just visiting. And I tell her that it is very late in the night and that it's time for us to get ready for bed. And that I want us to make sure that we've locked the front door. And so she is closer to the door. And so I ask her to go to the door to close it, to lock it, and she walks to the door slowly, and she fiddles with the doorknob and then turns back around and heads back into the hallway and into the back bedroom where we're going to be sleeping together. When I saw her close the door, there was a gut feeling that she probably didn't lock it. And so I went after her, I went after she had left, and to check the door, and sure enough, the door was still wide open. It wasn't locked. As I'm locking the door, there's actually a big window right next to the door, and I see the shadow of two things or two people walking up towards the front door. And it is the Grim Reaper, and it has another being with it, and it's like a short, red, very scary looking thing with him. And they are walking towards the house, and I was able to lock the door in time before they got in. And so I rush back into the house and I head back to the back bedroom. And when I'm in the bedroom, I lock the door and I look at my grandmother, and she's not alone anymore. There's a little girl with her, that's following her everywhere she goes in the room. And for some reason, I find the girl very terrifying, even more so than the Grim Reaper that's outside trying to get in. The little girl looks very irritated with me, and she tells me that she wants to tell me a secret. She gestures with her hand to come forward, that she wants to whisper something in my ear. And I tell her no. And I'm very defensive and protective. And I know that whatever she wants to tell me is bad, and I don't want to hear it. And so she is persistent. She doesn't want to leave me alone. She tries to get close to my ear, and she tries to whisper it in my ear. And I keep yelling no to stay away from me. And as I'm having the struggle with her, I hear the Grim Reaper, and he's managed to get in the house. And then I can hear him walking down the hallway and getting closer to the back bedroom. And then he makes it to the back bedroom, and he's messing with a doorknob, trying to open the door. And I wake up from the dream.
You wake up at that. What a terribly, terribly scary dream, Juliana. Did you feel terrified when you woke up? How did you feel on waking and then a few minutes later?
I mean, just reliving the dream right now, just telling you about it makes me super emotional.
Yes, I can hear that in your voice. Yeah, in a terrified, scared kind of way as you're retelling it, or are other emotions coming up for you?
Other emotions, definitely I was scared, but it just stirred up a lot of emotions.
Yes.
Because I felt, yeah, like in the dream, he was after my grandmother, and I was trying to protect her from it. And so when I woke up, I immediately just burst into tears, and I grabbed my phone and took notes of the dream.
Yes.
But it's just something, it happened in August, and so it's something that just has kind of stuck with me.
It's stuck with you ever since. And has there been any other similar kind of dream or anything along the same theme between August and now? I'll just note to any
No.
listeners listening to this out of sync, that's September, October, November, December. That's 5 months ago, isn't it? Yeah,
Yes.
but no, you said no.
No.
And did you get a feeling when you woke up at the end of the dream, did you get a feeling that you woke out of the dream prematurely, or did you get a feeling that that was the end of the dream, or did you get a feeling that your grandmother was going to die, or that something else would happen in the dream, not in waking life?
I felt like I forced myself to wake up.
And
Yeah, I
when,
felt like the dream wasn't over yet.
yes, yeah. And when you woke up, did your body have the physiological signs of fear, you know, was your heart?
Oh,
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was in tears when I woke up.
Yes. Because quite often when we feel fear, well, always when we feel fear in a dream, our physiological body takes it on. And even though you wanted to wake up from the dream, that can actually contribute to jolting us out of a nightmare because your body thinks, oh, something's actually happened. I've got to be awake and aware in the room right now. So I just wanted to add that in for listeners to know and appreciate. So it's interesting that you we'll get to the bottom of it. I can see what the dream is about. I just want to travel through it slowly with you and walk with you while you explore it as well. And one of the strongest and most courageous approaches to understanding a dream is to look at everyone in the dream as revealing or representing an aspect of yourself. So that straight away, any kind of feeling that you might have had or some people listening in might have had of, oh my goodness, is this a premonition about the death of the grandmother or anything like that, we remove that from the equation. Because there are occasions when dreams will preview a death or a difficulty or a sickness or an illness, but they are so very few. It's such a rare thing that we really put that to one side. And the dream is always about the self. So I just wanted to sort of bring that up front. But in that, we're then left, and that's why we're going to walk through this very slowly, we're then left with, oh my goodness, so who are the Grim Reaper and the little sort of short red being and the irritating little girl? You know, if everyone in a dream is an aspect of myself, my goodness, what is this saying about me? You know, you'll be thinking. But before we do go in and explore what they're saying about you, I'd also like to remind you and everyone listening in that our dreams love drama and love high drama. So like the slightest hint of an emotion or a feeling or something secretive or whatever, your dreams go, yeah, I'm really going to paint that. I'm really going to go like, we'll go full on Grim Reaper here, or we're going to go full on scary little girl. So these scary dreams bring up emotions that are important to bring up, but you know, they kind of go overboard, which sometimes is a good thing because they help us to remember the dreams. But you know, there's no part of you that is as grim as the Grim Reaper, as red devil as the little red thing, or as irritating as the little girl. But we're going to go through this, okay?
Okay.
So you go back to your parents' old home. So did you, at the beginning of the dream, did you at any stage ever live there as well?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So you lived there between what ages, Juliana?
I lived there about 13 years ago, and right before my father passed away. So the house definitely brings back a lot of very difficult memories.
Yes, difficult, without going into them, difficult because your father passed away, or other difficult memories as well?
Because he was very ill in that home.
Yes, yeah. And how long did you live there?
I lived there for about 3 years.
About 3 years. Mm-hmm. So your parents' home in your dream may represent very possibly the trauma that you had of your father being ill and dying, and we may be going into that and what was happening for you at that time. But it may equally well be about something that happened to you within that 3 year period that you were there. Now, I say this with caution, so what our dreams do is they are processing our conscious and our unconscious experiences of just the last 1 to 2 days. So whenever we have obvious symbols of the past in our dreams, like your parents' home or whatever, what's happening is that whatever was happening for you in the day or two before the dream would have resonated with stuff from the past. And that's common for all of us. So that in trying to process the events of the 1 to 2 days before your dream in August, it brought up things from the distant past, in this case, around about 13 years ago, or around about your father dying, or around about 13 to 16 years ago when you lived there, that are relevant to what was happening to you at the time of the dream in August. So that's why we're going back that far.
Okay.
All right. Now, did everything in the house, the hall, the kitchen, the front door, the back bedrooms, did it all look as it looked in your memory of the house, or did some parts of that look different?
It looked the same.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes we go back to the past and our childhood homes look different. I mean, often those dreams show how things have changed since we lived there, you know, not in the house, but within ourselves. So we're really going back to look at something that has perhaps not changed within you, that is really anchored in those times, and we're going back, or you're going back, because you need to understand and actually release something from those times in order to move ahead from the position that you were in August and may or may not be now.
Yeah.
The very beginning of a dream will often set the theme. It's like, yeah, this dream, the issue this dream is about is this. So we're sort of pretty sure that's why I'm spending a bit of time on it, that's, you know, the issue is related to back then, and we're going to go there. Did you have any particular associations with the kitchen or the hall or the front door that stand out to you, or are they just...
I know, but that's just where we spent a lot of time.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing.
No,
nothing else.
No, that's good. So the kitchen, like the heart of the home, the nourishing center, the family.
Right.
Spending time together, perhaps, I don't know, you might have different associations with the kitchen. It's where you spend a lot of time.
Yes.
Now, is your grandmother still alive?
She is, yeah, she is. Yeah,
and she's still in her 90s?
Yeah, and I actually visited with her the day before the dream. I went to see her the day before the dream.
Okay, so it's very likely then, not 100%, but it's very likely that not just her age that contributed to you processing her age and her tiredness in the dream, but probably processing something about your feelings about your grandmother or your relationships back in time with your grandmother and parents, or even more likely than that, the kind of beliefs and feelings and family histories and stories and dramas that become part of us because of who our parents are, because of who our grandparents are. So, you know, it's possible, and as we explore the dream, we'll find out that in visiting your grandmother the day before the dream, it kind of brought up stuff probably on a deeper level than you realize that made you review your past. Yeah.
There was something that she said. So I went to visit with her and I was just grooming her and helping her out. And she kind of had like a little breakdown, and she told me that she was very, very tired and that she was ready to go. And when she said that, I immediately said no. I told her, oh, you're still going to live many, many years.
Yes. How did she respond to that?
It kind of took her aback, like kind of shocked her a little bit. And I think maybe my response was a little too strong, you know. But just the idea of losing her was just too much for me to even accept, you know, her saying that was really difficult for me to hear.
Especially when you lost your father at such a young age as well.
Yes.
Yes. So on a top level, because we're going to go through the many levels of meaning of this dream, but on the top level, there's a possibility that the irritating little girl that was saying, oh, you know, I want to share a secret, and you in the dream are going, no, 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 I don't want to hear it, could also reflect you saying to your grandmother, no, 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 you're not going yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so on a top level, the irritating little girl could in some actually rather lovely way represent your very elderly grandmother, seeing her as actually a very young little girl, no, you don't have little girl tantrums with me, I'll tell you, you're not going yet, you're going to stay around for a long time. So there's that kind of top level of processing this, but actually it goes much deeper than that, and we'll go there.
Okay, so
but I'll just ask a question on the way. What, did you, in the parts of the world where you lived when you were at your parents' house, was locking the front door something everybody did, or was it the kind of place where people did leave the front door open?
Well, during the night when everybody got ready for bed, of course, we made sure that the front doors and all the doors were locked.
Mm-hmm.
But in the dream, the reason I really felt like locking the door was because I felt like something was going to happen.
Yes.
Like I really needed to protect my grandmother. That's how I felt in the dream.
Mm. Just as in waking life, when you were speaking to her the day before, you really wanted to protect her by keeping her with you. I don't want you to die. I want to keep you here. I want to lock you in. So, you know, on one level, and as I say, this is only at the top level, we're going to go deeper. But on one level, I'm sure you've explored in the 5 months since the dream, that feeling of, you know, well, it's really the person who's maybe ready to die or ready to stay. It's their decision, not ours, to close or open that door. But it's very much our position to remind that person that we feel that they've got a lot of life and vitality and we really want them here. And that's exactly the right thing to say. But on another level, it's kind of, yes, but you've also got to allow people to open and close their own door. So in a sense, because she didn't lock the door in the dream, you may have seen her as, no, I actually want to go. I want to leave this door open. I do want to go. I want to welcome the Grim Reaper. Now, this isn't you tuning into what your grandmother wants or not. This is your dream. It's your mind processing your feelings and your perspectives. So there was some level of you in that dream processing that feeling of maybe grandma actually does want to go because she's pretending to lock the door, but she's actually leaving it open.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just going to jump to the bottom, even though we're going to go back through the beginning again, because I want to take a completely different angle from it at this point before we go really deep. And that's to say that there is also a sense at the end of the dream that you don't want this, you don't want the Grim Reaper to do, you know, to come down and kill your grandmother in the back bedroom at the end of the dream. Mm-hmm. Can also be a sense of, in your life at the time, there was an ending that you didn't want to happen. So to throw back to grandma in real life, your grandmother in real life and in the dream was tired and exhausted. You know, yeah. Were you in August to any level feeling exceptionally tired and exhausted?
I mean, it's been a, it was a difficult year, you know, a lot of work, a lot of stress, and also a lot going on in my personal life, but I don't think it was, no, I didn't, okay. I don't think I was feeling to that extent, no.
Okay, no, that's good. If you had been, we could have looked at the dream of, you know, does the tired, exhausted part of me really want to be killed off now? You know, am I ready to accept more vitality and energy into my life? There's that kind of dilemma. But because you don't relate to that, that's obviously not where that one is going. So we go back to through the dream. You really want to lock it. There's a lot of locking and checking of locks and opening and closing of windows here, and also escaping to the back bedrooms, like as far away from the front door as possible. Are those back bedrooms where you would actually sleep, would have slept in?
The back bedroom where I slept.
But they were where you slept. So it's not a dream symbolism of getting as far away from the front door as possible. It's where you actually slept. You see the shadow of the two people walking to you. I think the Grim Reaper's symbolism is rather obvious, but the other short red being, can you describe, I think you described him as a him. Can you describe him a bit more?
He just, it looked like a little demon, like a little frightening, demonic creature. He was scary looking, but he didn't, I had more fear towards the Grim Reaper and the little girl than I did from him, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Can you expand on it a little bit? What made him less scary than the little girl?
I feel like he was just tagging along for the whatever, you know, for the journey or the experience, but he was just there. He wasn't going to do anything to harm me. I don't know if that makes sense. It just felt like the one I really had to watch out for was the Grim Reaper and whatever the little girl had to say.
Yes. How old would you say the little girl was?
Probably like 3 or 4.
So we're going to just focus on the little girl for a little while. And there's two possibilities here of the symbolism of her being 3 to 4 years old. One is that it may be taking you back to when you were 3 to 4 years old, but I don't think that's it, but I'll put it out there as a possibility. And it may also be taking you back 3 or 4 years. You know, something that's been in my life 3 or 4 years can look like a little girl that's 3 or 4 years old. So if we go back 3 or 4 years, that is, where are we now? In your dream in 2018, 3 or 4 years was 2014, 2015, I think. Mm-hmm. Does anything stand out to you about those years, about 3 or 4 years ago? That began 3 or 4 years ago, like a relationship or?
Well, my son was born 5 years ago.
Okay.
That's the only thing that comes to mind. And I mean, the little girl could have been around that age too.
Yes.
3 to 4.
Yeah. And he was your first child, your son?
My second child.
Your second child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he may, did you find your second child, did that alter anything about your life as opposed to being a mother of one? Did a mother of two alter anything significantly for you or bring you any extra stresses?
Shortly after his birth, I went through a really difficult separation and divorce.
Yes. Yes. Just so shortly after his birth, 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible that, you know, and also because, of course, you're crying talking about it now, which is such a good thing. It's such a good thing to hear tears, because it means the dream and the meaning of the dream is and discussing the dream is helping to bring up stuff that has been stuck down there and is needing to escape and release. And that's a good thing, particularly because we've gotten the dream, the sense of doors being locked or unlocked. You know, there's been a sense of locking something in that actually needs to be released and let go. Okay. So there are emotions from back then. So it's possible that the little girl being 3 to 4 years old in the dream can represent the period of time between the beginning of your separation and the time of the dream.
Okay.
So another way to picture that is to say there's a part of myself that feels like the little girl feels, that feels irritated and angry and all of these things. And she's still alive and well in me. And the thing is that she's trying to tell me a secret, and she's, I think you said, persistent, whisper the secret. And you're like, no, I just don't want to know that. I really don't want to know. I'm terrified. I'm so frightened of you. I'm even more frightened of you than the little demon, you know, who's just going along with all this. This is really scary stuff. So at the time of the dream, my feeling is that some part of you has been holding back a secret. Now, nobody's going to ask you to talk about secrets in a public podcast, so don't get worried or confused about this. And again, dreams go for overboard and drama. So the secret may be something that you already know, and something like, I don't actually want people, this is not other people's business, this is something I keep to myself, it's like a secret. It could be that, you know, on that level. Or it could be something that you haven't really noticed or really taken on board, but there's some part of this period of time which has kind of been, that you don't want to acknowledge yet.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, of course, you know, and I know, and everybody listening in knows, that it's the painful and difficult and challenging experiences in our life that actually, at the end of the day, do yield some gifts and some positivity once we really open to them. So my sense is that this dream, terrifying though it is, came at a time, perhaps after speaking with your grandmother the night before, came at a time when you might have been more ready. Kind of, I don't really want to hear this, but some part of my unconscious does want me to hear this. You know, I'm ready perhaps to, you're in a do I, don't I conflicting situation about, I'm ready to sort of open up a bit more about my feelings about this separation.
Yeah.
The demon, the red demon in the dream on this level, maybe, you know, you said he's just tagging along, could be a feeling of the we talk about the things that are the demons in our life, or, you know, I'm not saying that your separation was a demon, but, you know, it could be, oh, I'm carrying this burden, it's like a little red demon, but I'm just going along with it, you know, 1 in 3 or 1 in 2 people or whatever it is are separated. So, you know, that's just a demon in my life. But it's like, no, there's actually something I'm more scared about that. And it's actually facing some of the stuff that I've hidden so deeply that I don't really want to open that little door. I don't want to go there. And it's really irritating me, because the little girl was irritating you, like really irritating me to the level where it'd actually be much easier. Just open that door, feel that feeling, acknowledge it and let it go.
Yeah.
Before we go more, how are you feeling at the moment? You feeling okay?
Taking it all, yeah, I'm feeling okay.
Okay, that's good. When you, just coming back to the dream, but when you woke up and you cried in the morning, did you get the sense that you were crying about your grandmother in the dream, or crying about the frustration, or did you not know where your tears were coming from?
When I woke up, I definitely felt like I was crying for my grandmother.
Mm. Was your grandmother, did she have a separation in her life, or was she a long relationship, and was it happy?
Like from her spouse or?
Yes, her spouse.
So my grandfather passed away many, many years ago, but they were married for a very long time.
Mm.
She's had a lot of losses. She's had three children pass away already.
Oh, yes, that's hard. Yes. So she is a person who has experienced a lot of losses. When you talked to her the night before the dream, was she talking about those losses?
We talked about my dad. Mm. Yeah.
So losses, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, your dad is a father of a child, i.e. you, and your separation was a separation from the father of your two children. So there's that loss of a father kind of theme going on there too.
Yeah.
Mm. Is the father playing an active role in your children's life?
He is. And we actually have a very, very good relationship. But I feel like there's still, like you said, there's some part of me and there's something that, you know, there's still hurt and there's still pain.
Yes.
That I try to keep away from surfacing or thinking about.
Yeah. Why do you think you try to keep away from it in order, for example, to maintain the good relationship with your ex or because of the kids or because you're scared? Or do you have any gut feel for why you don't want to go there, knowing that it's actually a good thing to go there to release it?
I don't know, just part of me says, why are you going to dwell on the past?
Yes.
You know, why are you going to, like, what will you gain from crying about it or,
yes,
you know, thinking about it, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, and you're so, consciously you're so right, and we'd all be nodding our heads with you, you know, that I guess also we all know many people who are stuck in the past and stuck with grief and for example, long-term victim attitude as well, and it does nothing to help you move forward. You know, we all ultimately want to release our past and wake up each morning with a fresh new attitude, which is exactly how life should be, and particularly when you're building a positive relationship with your ex and all of that. The only thing is that our unconscious mind will, and our unconscious heart and our unconscious soul will hold on to stuff. And even though we consciously don't want to go back to the past, all the time that we unconsciously hold on to stuff, it's affecting us. You know, it's actually, we may make a conscious decision to be this way or to talk this way or to do this thing or to relate this way and be fine and rational about it and know we want to move forward. But if the unconscious mind has another agenda, like, for example, and I'm making this up, I'm not applying it to you. You don't want to start a new relationship because it might end up in a separation because look how hurt you were. Then your unconscious mind will actually sabotage new relationships. That's just an example. Your unconscious mind is really, really powerful. So that, you know, one of the advantages of doing particularly dream work is that we get to understand our unconscious mind, its thoughts, its belief patterns, and particularly its feelings and emotions. And that helps us to see where that unconscious mind and heart and soul can be standing in the way of our progress. So there's a sense in sometimes we need to go back to the past in order to look at it, feel it, let it go so that it's actually not blocking us anymore. And then, yes, let go of the past, move into the future. And you have this right at the start of your dream, Juliana, in literally going back to your parents' old home and it looking the same. You went back to the past at the beginning of the dream.
Yeah.
So in a sense, there's going back to the past in the beginning of the dream, and particularly even earlier time than the separation with your husband, partner to begin with, it was that sensation of going back to the time when your dad died or the 3 years before that as well, when he was ill and dying, going back to the past. And then all this frightening stuff comes up in the dream. Do I open the doors and let it go? Do I lock it and keep it in? Do I stay safe? Do I protect? Are things going to end? How do I feel about this? Do I want to know the secrets? All this stuff comes up almost as if perhaps, I don't know, you know, it may be that talking with your grandmother or even reading between the lines with your grandmother may have made you start to think about her past as well. And as you say, her losses and how much her past influences her present. And, you know, and then transferring that to yourself as well. And then going into this dream with the quest of, you know, what is the point of going back to the past? Or maybe I do need to go back to the past to release some stuff.
Yeah. I think there is definitely some release that needs to happen.
Yes, yeah.
I did think it was maybe, for a long time I was so strong and I felt like it was a theme, you know, behind me, but it's still there. There's still pain.
Yes, it is. And when you thought it was behind you, did you have a sense that you knew why it wasn't, or was it a total mystery to you?
Why it wasn't behind me?
Yes. Why, you know, did you just sort of have this niggling feeling like I feel there's something that
I think it surfaces when I, you know, when I see him around my children and and see how good of a father he is.
Yes.
It makes me think, like, we were a family once, and, we lost something. Both of us lost something very big.
Yes.
And, I don't know. It's just, it's still hurt. There's still that betrayal that hurts. And, but also like me wanting to move forward. Right.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's right. The betrayal still hurts, and there's, you know, any issues around those particular pains. But what you're painting to me and to us today is a bigger picture of, it's not the betrayal. It's not those things. I've got those. It's the loss. You know, you've just said, yeah, mm-hmm. like he was a good father. We lost something so big. And then talking with your grandmother the night before the dream, you were either talking with her about, or you were aware of her losses. Oh, yes, you were talking about your father's passing, so you were talking about her losses as well. So you almost also went into the dream that night to process, how do we handle loss? Yes. You know, it's slightly reframing your situation as wanting to move forward, not from the betrayal and the hurts, but wanting to move forward from the sense of loss. Is that a bit of a shift in perspective?
Yes.
Mm. Simply because it gives you something more concrete to look at and to focus on. You know, I, Juliana, have worked at the betrayals. I've worked at this. I kind of worked all that out. I've got a great relationship with my ex. He's a good father. We've been there, done that. I'm ready to let that go. But it's this sensation of loss that is what I really want to focus on and grapple with and release and move on. Yes.
Process, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that really resonates.
Yes. So what if we asked your grandmother, you know, because she's experienced so much loss and because she's been around a fair amount of time, what advice would she give you about loss in general and handling loss?
I don't know. I mean, when I've asked her how she's moved on from so much loss, because, you know, we're a big family and we're very close and we always talk about stuff like this. Mm. I mean, what she said is that you don't ever really forget it. You just kind of learn to live with it.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And the thing is, you know, there's something very powerful in what you've imagined she would say there and what she does say to people. You don't ever forget it, but you learn to live with it. Now, I'm just going to juxtapose forgetting and secret. We don't forget something. It's in permanent memory versus there is a secret. Now, a secret can be something that you want to keep a secret, and actually that makes it even more right up front and something you never forget, you know, like the elephant in the room thing, you know, don't think about an elephant, I'm thinking about an elephant, I'm thinking about an elephant, I'm thinking about an elephant. So a secret can be something that we're always thinking about no matter how much we try to hide it. Or as we described it previously, which I think is more accurate, is a secret in this sense in the dream is an unconscious thing that we're not totally aware of. The enormity of your feelings of loss in the dream are part of the secret, and yet your grandmother would say you never forget loss. Like, it's the opposite to a secret. In your grandmother's imagined advice, she would say to you, don't bury your loss as a secret. You'll never forget it, so just have it right out there in front of you. You'll never forget it. You just have to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
So that's quite a flip. And learning to live with it doesn't necessarily, hard as it may sound, doesn't mean, oh, every day it's going to be clouded by or shadowed by. You had shadows in your dream. It's going to be shadowed by loss. It doesn't mean that. It means, sometimes means and eventually means, because I don't forget about that loss, I'm able to view other things in life in a different way. I'm able to say, on a simple level, when you experience a loss, you actually, on another level, appreciate life more, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes.
So, and I don't know whether this happened to your grandmother, but loss can be eventually, it's terrible to work through at the time, but eventually brings you gifts of presence and vitality that people that haven't experienced loss never really touch. And so, in a sense, this is, me trying to give you courage to really let that secret of loss out of the shadows and depths of your unconscious mind and into your consciousness, so that you can hold it there, not wake up every morning and think, oh, I've got to start the day with a loss. It's absolutely not that at all, but to allow it to be a part of who you are because of the other joys that it has taught you and the other values that it has taught you.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So that little girl being so persistent that you were so terrified of could now be seen as a part of yourself that's going, Juliana, Juliana, I know I'm being really irritating here, but I really want you to bring me into consciousness and have me there because yes, I do represent the 3 to 4 years of loss, but if you stop shoving me in a cupboard and shoving me in the back room and threatening the Grim Reaper on me, trying to cut me off and trying to kill me off, then I can actually serve to remind you that you have a very blessed life because you have experienced terrible loss, and look what the gifts of that actually are.
And provide healing, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes. She, that little girl that you're so terrified of, is a part of yourself that could actually heal you in wonderful ways.
Well, she's very scary.
She's very scary because she threatens to, in the dream sense, she's not threatening anything in actuality, but in the dream sense, you perceived her as threatening to change your life in some way, to tell you in the dream, it's like she's going to tell me something I don't want to hear, because if I hear that, it's going to change who I am or my life or something. Something in my present comfort zone is going to change, and I don't want that. Whereas in fact, hearing something like that, painful though it may be, and we've kind of already, you've already expressed it, you've already brought it out the cupboard, not just to me, but to everyone listening. So it's not hidden anymore, really, the sense of loss. In fact, it's yes, it will change your life, but it will change your life in wonderful ways, because out of the box, it's not floating around in your unconscious being more powerful than in waking life. When you're conscious of, say, for example, loss, of course it's still a powerful ingredient in your life, but you're aware of it. You can negotiate with it. You can point to it. It's in the room. You can count the blessings that come with it and all of these things. But when you don't acknowledge it in the room, when it's unconscious, it's damn more powerful than that. It upsets everything. So the changes that it brings in your life, it takes you out of the comfort zone that you had back in August when you had this dream, and you whether it's taken 5 months to be ready to bring her out, or whether that dream began to allow you to bring this loss to the surface, I don't know, but that it the dream in August provided you the opportunity to step out of whatever level of comfort zone you had achieved at that time, which was putting it all behind you, and yet not. And moving into a slightly different zone where you could live with a sense of loss and therefore notice its blessings and heal and move on, which is what you want to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So that the Grim Reaper then can be seen in different ways in the dream. The Grim Reaper comes to put an end to things, to be death. And death symbolically is sometimes a good thing, the death of the old way, the death of I want to bring an end to having these secrets inside me, I want to bring an end to being controlled by my unconscious mind, by the past, whatever it is, in order to even just the words move forward implies something new. I don't want to be as I am now. I want to move forward to something new. Well, to move forward to something new, you have to let go of something old, and a good dream symbol for that could be the Grim Reaper. You've got to let that one in. How are you feeling about all this now?
Wow, I feel light. I feel like you've just hearing your perspective, and it's really, I didn't approach it this way. I didn't think of it in this way. And The way you dissected it has really touched those wounded parts inside of me that I know for sure that I need to deal with.
Yes. That's so lovely. And in the moment that you say that I know I need to deal with, you are already dealing with them.
Yeah.
By bringing them out, by talking about them to a greater number of people listening in, by making them conscious, basically by becoming aware of them, getting them out of the unconscious mind. And it may be over the next couple of days that there will be more tears, and welcome them, because those tears are good. Like the tears you cried when you woke up in the morning, you were crying for the dream and for the potential loss of your grandmother in the dream, but at a deeper level you were crying for yourself and for the losses. So you may be a bit teary over a couple of days, and, you know, so don't think, oh, I shouldn't have had my dream interpreted because it's made me feel really teary. Think, this is really good. This is this stuff coming up and letting out, and, you know, like rainbows when the sun shines through the rain, you know, better things come afterwards.
I agree.
Yes.
I think it's my opportunity to really face it now, and just, I think there's nothing wrong with crying, right? It's healing, and I need to do it. I've restrained it. I've held it back for so long, and I feel like it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay. It's not a sign of weakness.
Absolutely not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of courage. It's a person who's prepared to go there and open up the floodgates and let it out rather than hold it back. You know, maybe for all of us, the weakness is in trying to build a fortification and hold back our feelings. You know, the strength and the courage is, yeah, let it go. Let it go, and let me grow as a result of that. So, you know, you're already doing it now. It's a wonderful thing, a softening, wonderful thing. And that is the, I guess, what the little girl was trying to scream into your ear in the dream. Listen to me, I need you to hear this.
Yes.
So you will be crying not only for, you will be crying out the losses. You will be crying out the fact that you've tried to hold back those losses and that you've held back your moving forward. And you will also be crying out all number of things, but you'll be crying out tears that are the sign of healing. So, you know, and that is a good thing.
Yes.
So normally I would give a dream alchemy, you know, because they, and I will give you something, but there's the dream interpretation, which is understanding the dream and becoming aware of it and understanding ourselves so much deeply because of the interpretation. And then stage two, which can be applied, is what I call dream alchemy, which is then when you have the opportunity to do an exercise that helps to reprogram any limiting beliefs or helps to release something, basically tinkers with the unconscious mind to move things along a bit. And it works by, you know, going by the fact that interpreting a dream isn't a dream dictionary approach. You know, our symbols and the dramas in our dreams are uniquely ours. And you could say that our unconscious mind speaks to us in our dreams using its own language. So the language of your unconscious mind's language was Grim Reaper, grandmother, opening and locking doors, irritating little girl screaming. That was all the language that your unconscious mind has, because the unconscious mind doesn't speak English or whatever our current language might be.
Yeah.
And so the dream alchemy exercises, we talk back to the unconscious mind using the same language. Instead of talking about holding stuff in, we might talk about locking or unlocking doors. Or instead of talking about secrets, we might talk about the little girl. You know, we play with the symbols in the dream, and we transform and change them as a way of tinkering with and changing the unconscious mind.
Yeah.
So there are many ways we could go with your dream. And I do feel that because you flowed so beautifully with the interpretation, we've all been able to heal here. A lot of your healing already in motion, and you probably don't need to do much more because it's already, it's going for you and it's happening. But if you wanted to, let me just have a quick think about this. What's your... Do you like writing? Do you like painting? Do you like artwork? Do you like visualizing? What's your kind of artistic bent?
Definitely writing.
Definitely writing, okay. So what you could do is you could write. Now, when I say write a children's book, do not panic. By a children's book, I mean one or two pages that only you read if you want to, and you can throw away, and it doesn't have to have good grammar or anything. But, you know, so it's not like a major project. It's like maybe half an hour or an hour's work. It's to write a book for a a child, a girl, who is about 3 to 4 years old. And yeah, and the story is, the title of the story is, let me think about this, The Secret.
Okay.
And it could be The Secret and the Locked Door.
The Secret and the Locked Door, okay.
Yeah. And all you're going to do is, while you write, you can write absolutely anything, because you're going to write it quickly, like don't let your conscious editing mind come into it to begin with anyway. Just let your unconscious mind write it. So we've put in symbols from the dream, the 3 to 4 year old little girl, locked door. And because, particularly if you write this, if you've got time after we finish recording this podcast, if you go straight in and give yourself half an hour and see what tumbles out, what you're doing is writing a little story for a 3 to 4 year old. Now, when we write a story for a 3 to 4 year old, we always give it a happy ending. And a happy ending is not locking the secret away forever, because our children's books also teach our children's great ethics and morals and means to live their lives beautifully. So we all know where the kind of story is going to go, but we're going to leave you with creating the magic of that. And if you write a magical little tale just in a couple of pages, what you're doing is you're actually talking back to your unconscious mind using the same language and getting going where you and I both know it will go in order to move ahead from here. Now, then you can just let that magic do its work. It's part of releasing it from your unconscious mind. It's part of becoming friendly with a little girl, part of yourself. It's becoming friendly with the 3 to 4 years since the separation. Mm-hmm. It's making friends with all that and making it okay. It's getting over the fear of the little girl, over the terrifying. It's facing it. It's making friends with it. It's integrating it, and all of that is good. If you felt at the end of that, that power of that has been done, but if you felt at the end of that, you know, I think I've actually written a really good story, you can read it to your kids, or you can read it to yourself in the mirror, which is quite a powerful thing to do, or you can, you know, go on and full develop it into a children's book, but half an hour is really all it takes.
Thank you. I love that.
It's a pleasure. Is there anything else that you'd like to ask about your dream before we wrap this one up, Juliana?
I couldn't have asked for more, really. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Look, thank you for being an absolutely wonderful guest, bringing a powerful dream and really flowing along with it. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you.
I'm sure you got as much out of listening to that podcast and Juliana's dreams as I did in joining in the conversation as well. I always learn so much from our guests, and I hope that you do too. So that's it for another month. A reminder of the websites, janetheresa.com or dream-academy-online.com. And of course, if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, the idea is that we call you by Skype or by your landline, wherever you are in the world. And all I need to know about you is that you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show. And of course, your phone number or your Skype address. And we go from there, and, you know, you contact me and don't tell me anything about your dream, so that we record it in the way that we did. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, don't send me an email. It won't work that way. Go to janetheresa.com, go to podcasts, and you'll see in the drop-down box that there's a form to fill in to be a guest on the show. And that's the quickest route and the most surest route to get noticed. So do it that way. I know I'll be speaking with some of you between now and then. And also maybe doing some bare bones interpretations with some of you between now and then. But the next episode of The Dream Show, episode 214, will be due out on the 1st of March 2019, if you're listening to this in real time. Of course, you can listen to all 213 episodes and all future episodes as they come out at janetheresa.com. We keep them all there for you to download and listen to. And you can also listen on iTunes. I think it's just the last 10 on iTunes, but that's another great platform to listen as well. Have a wonderful month, and I'll speak to you next episode. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.